Welcome back. This is season two of Are You From That Show? The podcast brought to you by Jordan and Hattie. This week, we are so incredibly lucky to have the amazing Ivana Lynch join us for a conversation and to share her thoughts and her own experiences. It's a corker of an episode. We absolutely loved recording this with Ivana over Skype, so I hope you enjoy it just as much at home or while you're on the move. Please do like, subscribe, and share the podcast so other people can also have a listen. Thank you. Ivana Lynch is an actress, podcaster, and vegan activist. She's best known for her iconic role as Luna Lovegood in the Harry Potter films, a role she won through a series of open auditions. Since then, Ivana has continued to act on stage and screen. In her free time, she writes and hosts a vegan and animal rights podcast called The Chick Peeps.
Ivana, thank you so much for coming on.
Thanks, pleasure to be here.
How was it hearing your bio back?
Oh God, it's so cringeworthy, isn't it? It's such, do you do that intentionally to make people like think about their lives? No, I've had it before though where like, you know, you want to send like you've done a lot of things that you're really successful and you send the whole bio, any award nominations, and then they read it out and it's excruciating. It's just like, oh God, don't.
So as your bio says, you got your part in Harry Potter through open auditions. Mm-hmm. Were you doing a lot of acting before that?
No, that was only my second audition. I was not doing anything really. I was doing drama classes because I was really shy as a child and I really found that just liberated me. I kind of always wanted someone to give me a script, like for life. I was just like, just tell me what to say. It's so much easier. Yeah. I'd had one audition for some other thing, but I didn't have like a lot of experience. I was an obsessive fan, and that's how I found out about the audition. I used to go on a fan site called MuggleNet every single day after school. I rush home, check all the Harry Potter news, and I saw they had an open audition. So, and I was like, "That is my ticket. Here we go." Yeah.
Were your parents quite encouraging of you to pursue like a career or go for the audition?
They didn't see acting at all as a career. Like they were teachers. They were like, and they. It's kind of I suppose an Irish mentality where you think you kind of have to hate your job a little bit. You shouldn't be having too much fun. And I think they just thought, oh, you know, she loves her acting. That's her little classes. But eventually she's going to settle down and get a real job. And like they still think that way. Like up until a few years ago, I'd come home and they'd be like, so, you know, it's not too late to go back to university. I think it was just like because we didn't have performance in our family. And I think for anyone who doesn't have that, it seems so glamorous. And it seems that there's this idea around it that you have to be really lucky, you know, like it's not something you work for. It's just something that happens to you. And so, no, they didn't. I mean, I would say this as a kid, I'd say I'd want to be an actor and they'd be like, that's nice, you know, good. and then when the open audition came along, I mean, they were just kind of like, well, my dad was like, oh, let's go for it. You know, why the hell not? You know, just we'll go to London, have a nice day and it'll be fun. And my mom was like, no, she cannot go. This will crush her. And she was right. Like if I'd got really, really close and not gotten the part, that would have been, it would have ruined Harry Potter for me. And that would have been a huge thing. So she tried to talk my dad out of it. And she just was like, just let her focus on school. But he was in a jolly mood and we just went for it.
So did you have to keep coming back to London for several auditions?
No, it was the quickest process ever because, and they told me this later, that the open auditions were kind of like their last, oh, let's just see what else is out there, that they had actually got a few people in mind. And then, so from between doing the first audition and getting the part was 2 weeks. So I had one audition. Yeah, I had one audition and I had a screen test and that was it. It was like,
oh my God, I did not know that.
Yeah, it was crazy. I went from like stalking all of the people on Harry Potter to just being on the set, and it was weird. Yeah.
So did you move over? Obviously, you must have moved over for long periods of time.
Yeah, I had to have a chaperone, which I'm sure you're familiar with. Yeah, that was strange. So I moved over to London. They put me up in a really nice flat in Maida Vale. I just thought this was normal, that everyone lived like this in London. And first my parents were there for the first couple of weeks, but they had jobs and other kids. So they went back after a few weeks, and then, yeah, had a chaperone, and I would stay there. I mean, filming was very long. It was like about 8-9 months in total, and so you'd be on for weeks at a time, and they tended to, like, the adult actors kind of got to say when they would film. Mm-hmm. And so the children actors, we were all kind of mercy to their schedules, but we loved it. Like, I just wanted to be on set all the time. Yeah. But I think that wouldn't happen nowadays. I was thinking about that, like, well, just the fact that we were always just there hanging around a lot, like, we were there for so much longer than we were filming. They would just have us in for some weeks just in case things would happen. So, yeah.
How did it work for you in terms of, like, 'cause I remember there's a limit that you're allowed to be on set for as an underage actor.
Yeah.
And we had things like, you know, like tutoring and stuff like that. How did that work? Because you were approaching GCSEs.
Yeah, a junior cert in Ireland, same thing sort of. But yeah, so we had to do a minimum of 3 hours tutoring on set every day, which doesn't sound like a lot, but I don't know if you had this, but it was so intense. Because, like, in school, you kind of can doze off or other people, but having, like, a tutor in your face for 3 hours, I found that so intense. So we had that, and they were really strict on their hours. Like, we would sometimes, you know, we'd get close to finishing a scene, but legally, you couldn't have the children on set. And actually, I think, you know, we reached a point where some of us were over 16 and they still kept those hours just because they were nice. I think the producers really fought to keep us having a sense of normalcy. And, like, Emma was one person who was really determined to, you know, do her A-levels. I think Rupert left school as soon as he could. And then I think Emma was like, I'm going to college. And I think that kind of set the precedent for everyone else. Like, and the producers, they wanted to encourage us to keep our education. And yeah, they made it really possible. But they would, like, yeah, if we were close to finishing a scene and we were going over hours, they would cut it short. And I'd be like, I won't tell the lawyers. Let's just finish the scene. But it was, yeah, they had a system, I suppose. Yeah.
What was it like going back to school, like regular school, between the movies?
I got away with a lot. I mean, yeah, I just, well, first of all, my dad was vice principal, so I wasn't going to get in trouble because he was given the detentions. and then sometimes I wouldn't have homework done. I'd come back because I'd have a week on filming, and then I'd come back for a week and I'd just be like, oh yeah, filming's so stressful. I have no time. And so got away with not doing some homework. But it was fine. I kind of went back to normal. Like, at first when I got the role, it was people were very excited, and I mean, I was really quiet in school. I was like, I was just a bit of a loser, like, it wasn't like I was bullied or anything, but I kind of resented teenagers. I was that kind of teenager. I was like, oh, everyone's so, you know, just like trying so hard. And I would be the person who would read at lunchtime. So it was weird to then, you know, be an actor and so people were interested for a while. I think that quickly changed and they were like, oh, she's still just such a loser. So it didn't change too much.
How did that change though when it comes to, like, not being at school but being out and about and people who maybe didn't know you but would recognize you? Was that weird to kind of, like, adapt to? Like I said, I remember when it first happened to me, obviously not on something on a big scale, but it was really odd to have people come up to you and feel like they know you, but you didn't know who they were. Mm. And how would you, like, respond to that? Would you be quite shy, or would you, like, would you enjoy it? What was it like?
Yeah, well, it didn't really happen until after the movie came out. It started happening. I remember I went to a summer camp the summer that the movie came out, and then it started happening. And I just noticed, like, oh, suddenly people are being so nice to me. And there'd be some people just, like, hanging around or making too much effort to be my friend. And that was strange because I'd never had that before. I think at first I was really, I loved it. I was really naive and I thought, oh, everyone's so nice and everyone, and now I finally have friends and that kind of thing. And, but then, you know, gradually that can make you cynical because those people are often not real friends, or you get paranoid. You're like, why are they even being my friend? And I still have that a little bit. When people look at me a bit too long, I'm like, is it because my hair is nice or is it because of Harry Potter? You know, like, I just don't. So, I think at first, for the first couple of years, I had a bunch of friends who, and I kind of wore myself really thin with all those friendships because I just, I'd never had that, being a kind of odd kid to then suddenly have loads of people to talk to and text. I felt I had to keep up with them. And then it sort of changed. I think I was hurt by a number of friends, and I then got quite closed off and cynical. And I had noticed that on, like, some of the other actors who'd been on the films longer than I had. They very much had boundaries up. Like, you would get close, but never very close. And it's kind of sad because it's like, you know, especially as an actor, like, you're a sensitive person, you want to make friends, you want to get to know, and you're interested in people. It's kind of sad to then have to be really guarded. I think now I try and find little communities where I can find people. It was odd. And I didn't, like, getting recognized, it's such a, I think people think before you've had fame, you think, oh, that sounds so exciting and how flattering. But I think it just brought up a huge sense of inadequacy because they'd recognize me and I'd be like, I'm not a movie star, you know, and just you worry about your looks and you worry about how you're coming across and disappointing people. So, I don't particularly enjoy that. I don't know about, was that the same for you guys? Because it's personal, isn't it?
I guess so. I was quite a lot younger when I was recognized. So I think, because I was like 10 when I was in a film, and I think I was almost too young to really see it on a deeper level, other than probably quite enjoyed it because it meant that people had seen the film I was in.
Nice.
I think when I got older, because I didn't act that much when I was in my teens, I found it quite embarrassing then that people would mention something that I'd done when I was so much younger.
Mm-hmm.
Often I felt like people would refer to me as the girl from that film. And I think that felt embarrassing.
Yeah.
Because I felt like I was 16 and that was something I did when I was young. And there's so much more to me now. But yeah, it seemed to be something that people still referred to.
Mm. And it's weird because it, like, brings you back to that moment as well. It's like people are trying to keep you at that age or something.
Yeah.
Mentally. Yeah. Mm.
It's odd that you were talking about the whole, like, the barrier things. I remember sometimes when everyone was, like, maybe, like, sort of 18, 19, and we'd go, like, to clubs. And I remember being in a club with a group of friends, and, like, they would be very close friends of mine. But I remember if someone recognised me, that was my night over. Like, I'm suddenly then on, like, I'm then, like, being quite professional, and I'm being, like, quite a bit, like, I've got the guard up, like you were saying. But my friends would be having a great time because suddenly they're in a position where they are, I guess, benefiting from, like, the effects of fame because they get to talk to all these
by
people.
Association.
By association. But not the actual, like, if they suddenly got drunk and started throwing up everywhere, no one's really going to care.
Yeah.
But if I did that, even though I wasn't, like, that famous, but, like, you never know what would happen from it. You never know what people would say about it. And you always feel like you've got a reputation to uphold of being professional. So it's like, I think they would have appreciated more than probably I would.
Yeah, totally. It's because it's your reputation and you feel like you're being watched, but it's also you know, from playing beloved childhood characters. You're like, oh, I don't want to ruin this for you. I don't want to, like, I get that all the time. Like, you don't want to be snapping. You want to have your boundaries and just say, no, leave me alone. Thank you very much. I'm just with my friends. But then they go away with that forever. And they're like, oh, that Luna one was a bitch, you know? And it's just like, that. I don't want to do that. That makes me sad.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Have you ever pretended to not be?
Yes, I have. It's like, yeah. But my voice is such a giveaway. So I have to, like, try put on an accent. It's awful. And the worst case of me for doing this, and I kind of, after that, I was like, I can't do this again, was when I was on an airplane. And I fly economy because I just, like, I don't like paying that much money for those fancy seats, you know? But anyway, so I was in, and I was grumpy about it because I was like, oh, long flight, all cramped together. And I was in a middle seat, and this girl beside me was like, are you? And she even knew my name. And I just was like, no. And I was like, just don't say anything. Say as few words as possible. And I was like, I'll get away with this. And I just was vehement. I was like, no, I don't know who you're talking about. And but it's like an 11-hour flight. I don't know how I thought I would get away with it. But I was also like, I don't want to talk to a Harry Potter fan for 11 hours. I was I was so tired. I'd had like 2 hours sleep. And then, of course, because I'm vegan, I'd ordered a special little vegan meal in advance. I went off for a doze. A few hours into the flight, I heard, Lynch, Miss Lynch, vegan meal. And I was like, and I just kind of felt her, like, side of her eyes being like, and I didn't say anything. I just determined I am not me for this flight. But it was so embarrassing. Yeah, so it doesn't go well if you do that. Yeah.
It's really, like, horrible, like, split decision, though.
Yeah. Like, yeah.
What do I, and I, sometimes I would do it and I wouldn't even think about it, but I would just, like, sometimes just say, oh no, it's not me, it must be someone else. But you know that they know. It's like, why are you even bothering trying to lie?
I think the thing I get a lot is because I'm, as I was a lot younger when I acted, sometimes people think they recognize me, but can't place me. And so they think potentially we're friends.
Or you went to school together.
Exactly. Yeah. And I sometimes have that moment where I don't know whether they do actually know me and I've just forgotten. I've just forgotten. So I always just kind of go with what they say.
Yes.
Something I'm like, oh, must have been that. Yeah.
Or do you ever, you know, when people, like, they say, oh, you're so much like that girl. And then you go, oh, and you just, like, unless they actually twig, I kind of leave them to it.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah. And then I play the game of, what show is that? And I play the game of, if you guess it right, I'll tell you.
Right.
So if you can guess the show, I'll say yes. But if you guess it, I'm not going to tell you. So it makes it fun for me then as well.
It does make you so flustered though. And I know what you mean, like, in the moment, you're like, oh, where am I? Like, are you standing in the queue of Boots buying a box of tampons? It's like, you weigh up, you're like, oh, but generally I just say
Evanna, do you have a lot of actor friends?
I do. I have a good few, mostly from the last few years. I've been doing theater in London and met, like, I think that's where you really make friends in the acting world because of rehearsals and stuff. So I do now. Do you?
I guess I do have a lot of actor friends, yes. So Jordan and I went to drama school in London together when we were 18, 19.
Yeah,
18, 19. So I've still got a lot of friends from there. But I also still have a lot of school friends. I grew up in London, so I do have a lot of friends who aren't actors.
Right.
So it's quite mixed, I'd say.
Nice.
Do you bring up Madeline at all to you?
I think, no. I think when you've been friends with <long. laughs> we've got more to talk about.
Because I went to a theatre school, so I have a lot of friends I went to secondary school with that are still in the industry in some sense, whether it's musical theatre or acting or they're musicians or or whatever. So it's quite a mixture there for me of, like, friends and non-actory friends.
They're useful to have, aren't they, as well, with I don't know if you guys are still, like, taping at the moment, but whenever I have to do a self-tape, it's hideous when I have to do it with a non-actor. Oh, God, because they start performing and taking over, but actors just read it flat, which is nice.
This show, I did one yesterday with my friend, and I was like, if they give me the part, just, you know.
They always say that. They think it's such a funny joke. My mom and dad say that every time. So that never happens.
Did you, after the film, ever feel like you wanted to not act anymore? Or did you ever get to a point where you're like, I've now decided this is what I want to do with my life? Or was it just something that you kind of kept doing?
Okay, so I think right after the films, no, I was like, I am going to be an actor. And I actually met some resistance. I was with an agency who, no, go study something else. I think they just saw me as a child actor, and that, you know, I'd got lucky. But I'd always wanted to be an actor. So I kind of did some silly things. I dropped them. I moved to LA, and I was like, you know, everyone in LA is so nice and so affirmative, and I really like their attitude of that, their work ethic, you know, and they all go to acting classes. They have that humility in them that it's something that you learn forever. Mm. And I like that. But it was very impetuous to go there. I was not prepared for LA at all. I've never stopped loving it, but I think lately I've been a bit like, I feel a bit resentful, like acting kind of takes away your life, whereas everyone else seems to steadily progress in their career, and the time they put into their career is not wasted. You know, you can spend 2-3 days at an audition at a tape, and that's just eating up your week, and it might not go anywhere. So, and I think I started to feel like, I don't want to just like give everything to acting and not actually have a life, and it was almost like a toxic relationship where I was just putting in everything and it was not really giving back. And all the while, as I'm sure you guys know, people have, they think you're successful. They're like, well, you were in this movie, so isn't it grand for you? But it's not. You're still kind of trying and getting so much rejection and everything. So I moved back to London in 2016, and I think that's where I really was like, I'm going to balance my life. I'm not going to give everything to acting. And that's when I started, started doing my podcast, and I founded a business with a friend, and it was just like, just to have some sanity. Cause otherwise you can really hate acting. You can hate that it's just like taking and not going anywhere, and it's hurtful. You know, it's such a crazy vulnerable thing to go into a room with strangers and just put everything out there, something you've worked on for so long, and then, you know, blank. They don't give you anything, and then you have to go back and just shake it off. Like, it started to really, I think when all my self-worth was based around acting, it was like, oh, I can't actually, if I keep doing it this way, I'm just going to hate it and I'm going to quit, and that won't be a good way to leave it. So, yeah.
I guess we kind of all feel like we achieved a hell of a lot, probably for the age of like 17.
Mm-hmm.
And not many people ever really experienced that. You kind of progressively get further ahead in your career. But I guess we all kind of reached what, in relatively, a fairly good height.
Yeah.
And then it's hard to always stay at that height, I guess. Mm-hmm. So I thought to myself, I wonder if I would have a different mindset now if I didn't feel like I achieved so much at such a young age. When, like you said earlier on, where like I didn't feel like I necessarily had done a great deal to get that. It wasn't like I had a hard slog in for years of going, like now going to drama school and doing class. I was an 8-year-old kid who turned up and said some lines and was sometimes told, good, well done.
Mm.
Put you on camera. That was it. There was no other real thought behind it.
Yeah.
Do you mean about your expectations of success are different because you expect more of yourself because you've already reached such a height?
Absolutely.
And do you find it more gratifying now when you get work? Like, do you feel like I've earned it or something?
100%.
Okay, like, yeah.
I definitely 100% appreciate things more now than I did probably like 10 years ago. I think that because I now understand how hard it is to try and achieve things.
Mm-hmm.
And also, I mean, it's also is the understanding that it's, I think as I get older, it's less about actually, it still is about what you look like and what you sound like, But I actually now think to myself, there are other areas now, whether it comes to writing or whatever, where if I put in the hard work,
yeah,
I might be able to achieve it.
Yeah, it'll go somewhere. Yeah.
Definitely. So those small wins, whereas 10 years ago, they would have just been like, oh, yeah, I'm not bothered about it. Now they're huge in kind of keeping you going, in a sense.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I feel that, like, I think being a writer, actor is such a healthy thing because, like, yeah, you do make progress and it's more your own work. And I just, like, I feel now, I used to be like, okay, put everything into acting, you know, just go for it. And, like, I'm so much about, you know, intentions and going for it and that law of attraction thing, that energy follows intent. I'm into that. But I just feel like, actually finding a part that is really right for you, it's really almost similar to finding a partner, you know, somebody that you get on with. And I just don't think, I think you see it a lot with, like, people who have a high profile or get a big success and then they get other roles and you're like, I think that person's miscast. I think it's quite a unique thing to find a role that you really vibe with and you're so connected and it's just like a nice synergy between you and the character. So now I don't like push as hard or feel as disappointed. Like, I actually can usually get a feeling when I get a role, which is so rare, but I'll get one and it's like, oh yeah, I've been waiting for this person. Yeah. Rather than feeling I should be getting everything. So I think even just having that shift has changed my outlook a lot. And I don't feel like, I get a lot of auditions where I'm just like, you know, it's good practice. I'll go for it. But I kind of also know this isn't really the one. Yeah.
How old were you when you were in LA then? Was that kind of like early 20s? Like,
yeah, I went there when I was 19.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah.
Would you ever move back, or is it?
It's so fun. Like, it's such a great city. It really is. And the weather's great and there's so much great vegan food.
Yeah.
So I have a lot of really good friends there because I did spend like 5-6 years there. But I really love London and I find it's much easier to be grounded here. I think in LA, there's always this sense that you're waiting for your big break. You're always waiting for something. And if you're not, They're not very good at like a balance between work and life, your personal. And it's almost like work is kind of the main thing. And I think when I came back to London, I was like, oh no, there are other parts of myself and my life that I like just as much as my work. But they have this obsessive, I think it's an American thing and especially an LA thing, this mentality around work ethic that's how you prove yourself. That's how you prove your value and everything. So I found that hard to be around. Like, I would be at home reading and I'd be like, oh, I should be out. I should be doing some workshop or I should be networking. Like, networking is such a big thing there. They care so much about, like, just celebrity, really. And I don't feel that in London. I spend weekends reading my books and I feel really happy. I think I would go back there for a job. That'd be fine. But I feel like London is a really nice balance for me. And yeah, it's not as, I just don't get as obsessed with trying to book work. Yeah.
Also, I guess we have the theatre scene in London.
Yeah, it's so different. Yeah.
It's kind of a weird thing. Like, you know, you were talking about a second ago about the finding that perfect role. It's like we were all married, like, quite young, and it was a very intense relationship. And then we've got divorced, obviously. And then it's like, you're right. It's like every other relationship after that is a bit like, I kind of know when I'll get that feeling again.
Yeah.
And then you're right, you have little flings here and there, but it's like, you know that there's going to be the one that comes along and you will get that same connection again.
Yeah, I don't know. I just think, I think it's unusual. And I think we have to be actors, like, we're sort of a bit wired by the industry. And I think the industry's not very caring of actors. You know, the fact that we don't get feedback on certain things, you can get right up to the testing part and that you still I got so close to one dream role, and I was so, you know, I just thought, oh, it's going to happen. And I called my agent, like, you know, a few months later, being like, any word yet? And she was like, oh, yeah, I went to another actor 3 months ago. And it was just like heartbreak. And I think I don't like this idea that we are desperately waiting for work. I think it's such a sacrifice. Like when you have a character, you're literally giving them your body, your voice, like you're inhabiting them for that period of time that you're working. And that's like such a huge act of devotion and commitment. So I don't make that lightly anymore. I feel like, is there something I'd like to be doing with my life? Like, would I, you know, at the moment I'm trying to write, and it's like, do I want to write my book, which is something for me and that will, you know, help my career in a different way? Or do I want to, you know, spend 3 months in the head of this character and trying to understand them? Because, like, they are a full person. I don't really think you can do it by halves. I don't think you should. So, yeah, I don't do that. And it's hard as an actor, because when you get an audition or when you get feedback that's like positive or a callback, you're like, yes, you know, and it gives you that buzz. It's like a drug, kind of. But I suppose as I've gotten older, I've gotten more self-esteem or appreciation for myself, and it's like, no, I'm not just going to give my energy away, my life away, you know, easily. And it has to be for a character who's really worth it.
Do you ever feel that, like, it would be hard to let go of this career because you've spent so long in the industry? Letting it go would almost feel like it was wasted. You know what I mean?
Like the investment you put into it all the years. I see what you're saying. Yeah, I think I probably do feel that, yeah. I guess the thing for me, I think, is that my identity is linked to the fact that I'm an actor.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. What do you feel?
I mean, I suppose that's what giving up any job, though, like anything you've put your life in. Yeah, it's sort of like what you're talking about, that it being a part of your identity. That's like a death, isn't it? When you let go of part of your identity, it's like you're torching that part. And I sometimes do get in like furious moods and have to be talked out of it by my therapist. I'm like, fuck this acting industry. I'm just going to delete my Instagram page. I'm going to fire my agent. And I just like, I do kind of, I have this wild fantasy of like, this is actually my secret dream of moving to France. And I just want to be a waitress. And like, I don't know, there's something simple about just being anonymous, because I've never had a job where I'm anonymous. It's always like your name and whatever brand, as they love to say in LA, like that's part of you getting the job. So I think I do. Yeah, I fantasize about just like that it would be kind of freeing to just be like, I'm cutting this part of myself off. This is the past. And I always admire, like, you know, you see celebrities do that for albums, like Taylor Swift will clear her Instagram page or Miley Cyrus, and it's like new image. And I think that's so cool. Like they come back and they're rebirthed. But, you know, they have the liberty of doing that because they won't destroy their careers.
Yeah.
The rest of us need to like, hold on what we've done. So, I don't know. I think, it's very, very tempting. And I don't know that it wouldn't be a good idea. But I think I'm trying to transition to writing. And it's like, I have really wanted to just be like, burn all the past. Mm. But it's also, it's made me who I am. It's brought me to this point. And there's death coming from it. So, yeah, I won't do that yet. But it's alluring, isn't it?
Talking of your writing, I was just saying to John, I read your essay, I've got that there, that you wrote in Scarlett Curtis's book.
I see it.
I was telling John, I thought it's an amazing book of essays, and I particularly enjoyed yours.
Thanks.
How was that to write?
It was fun. I love writing. I don't love it, do I? I don't know. Like, I stress about it actually planning on writing, but actually writing that essay only took a couple of days, and I feel like I express myself best that way. So I like it. And it was great to be part of that book. And it was nice to just like have something down there. I think that encouraged me to be like, oh, okay, I can do, that was an essay. A book is probably just 200 pages longer.
Yeah.
Hard.
If you had children and they were like, they wanted to get into the industry also, would you encourage them to?
If they wanted to, I'd be like, yeah, go for it. I think acting is great. And I think it's like, it's kind of a job. Actually, I was writing about this where, like when I was younger, I really wanted to be, and like for a couple of years, for a bit too long, I was like, you know, when people ask, what are you going to be when you grow up? I'd be like, a cat, a pony, a butterfly. I had like a list. And I think for me, like actor, that's the compromise. You know, you can be a bit of everything. And I don't think you should just be an actor. And I noticed that like the best actors I've been around are usually really vibrant people, really passionate people. They always have other obsessions and that like informs them. So I would, but I would definitely encourage them because I think it's such a, it like it helps your confidence. It's just great. You meet so many people. And I think child actors do have an advantage because they learn it's just normal. They don't have the nerves. And I mean younger than I, because I started out 14 professionally. And I would see that when I went to America, people who start from kids, it was just like breathing for them. So yeah. I think I would encourage them. Probably be in danger of turning into a bit of a stage mom. I'd be like, right, everything I did wrong, we're going to do right. I'd know the whole agent scene and everything.
Yeah.
So.
I think I could be the same. I was saying that to you recently.
Yeah.
I definitely encourage my kids to, it's not something I'd thought about before, but now I would encourage kids to, if they want to, of course.
Yeah.
I'd be very encouraging.
Yeah, I think it's lovely. I think it can be like have negative people. Some actors seem mildly traumatized and they're like, never, I would not do that to a child. But there's so much good to it. It does. It really helps your confidence. And yeah, just not being the kind of child who's afraid to like working around adults. That's hugely just educational and it helps you develop. So. Yeah, I'm glad to hear you say that as well.
I think it's good.
We stage moms together.
Yeah, start a community. Because I think a lot of people I know a lot of my friends now have kids who are approaching sort of like the age where they are thinking about maybe doing like stage school, that sort of thing. So I think it's interesting for them to hear what the experience is like from our point of view, having been child actors, but now would we do the same with our own kids? Because it's like, it is a difficult thing because what I guess we forget, and I guess that our parents had the struggle of going, we like you said, I know, we don't want them to get too excited about something because what if they then get their hopes and dreams broken and being like an 11-year-old or a 10-year-old or a 12-year-old and having your hopes and dreams destroyed, it's like, it's obviously a really hard thing to deal with. So I think it's... Yeah.
But you need to get it over with, isn't it? Like, it's no less heartbreaking at 22 than it was at... Well, maybe a little bit. Your first few times of getting rejection is hard, but it still always hurts when you're older. So I kind of feel like...
Train them younger.
Yeah. Break their spirits.
It does, though. I mean, you deal with rejection a lot earlier. And I think it does give you a confidence. I was really confident around adults.
Yeah.
Because I was on film sets from the age of 8 around mostly adults. So there was not a problem for me to talk to adults in any sense. So I think I carried that through.
Really good.
Till I was an adult. Now I don't like adults, so it's fine. amazing. Thank you very much.
Yeah.
For coming on.
I think we've come. Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, great. Thanks. It was really nice to chat. It's really easy to talk to you guys.
I've been chatting to you for ages.
Thank you so much to Ivana for being on this podcast, and thanks for listening. And thank you to George for providing the music. You can find him at soundcloud.com/George. That's JAUGE. Tune in next time. See you later.